Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you today?
I am feeling the love, and I'm ready for this special Valentine's Day episode.
I am as well, man. I'm really excited about My Bloody Valentine, because this was a movie that, honestly, I just had not watched in such a long time, and I didn't realize it was so Canadian, and I get really excited about a nice Canadian horror film.
Oh yeah, eh?
Oh yeah, even though they don't really do much of the accent.
Oh yeah.
But oh yeah, you never know. Before we dive into My Bloody Valentine, and you guys are listening to teaser trailer episode this week, make sure you guys support our sponsors over at Five Finger Tees, fivefingertees.com. They have a bunch of amazing t-shirts. And everything's about 10 bucks for a regular t-shirt, 30 bucks for a hoodie. And if you use promo code 5OFF at the checkout, you'll save yourself a little coin. And then make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on YouTube, Google Play, CastBox. Everything's free. And that is the absolute best way to support the show. As long as you leave us a 5-star review, we'll keep growing and getting bigger every week. Now, JD, let's talk about your first memory of watching My Bloody Valentine. What do you remember seeing this?
So I'm going to go ahead and have to play the late to the game card. I first became familiar with the franchise after seeing the remake that came out.
Same.
And after seeing the remake, was very interested in seeing the original, found a copy of it and watched it. And the original is better than the remake by far.
Way better. Yeah, same boat for me. I believe my dad actually bought My Bloody Valentine 3D, and we had the little 3D glasses that came in the DVD case. And then it also came with the DVD version of the original My Bloody Valentine, which I believe was the first time it had actually been released, if I'm not mistaken, doing some research. So it was like a nice little like combo pack DVD, which was cool. So the 3D in my Bloody Valentine 3D has not aged well. Not good at all.
Does that mean you've watched it recently?
Yeah, well, I tried to put it on because I still have the glasses in the DVD case, and I got about 10 minutes in. And I was like, oof, this is brutal. Turned it right off.
I don't think that when I saw the new version, I saw the 3D. I don't even think I bothered. I was sort of putting that on the back burner, like I was against all 3D movies for a while.
You know what's really bad about 3D movies is when they play to the 3D specifically. Just make a regular movie. You don't have to like make things like, oh, look at my hand coming at you. Like, this isn't Universal Studios.
Agreed. I totally agree.
So, I mean, Cameron didn't do that, but what's that guy ever done? Let's fire up the trailer here, man. So if you're by a computer, if you have access, go ahead and get on YouTube, type in My Bloody Valentine 1981 trailer, and we're going to be looking for the one titled My Bloody Valentine 1981 trailer. It has 183,000 views on it. It was uploaded by Lon Chaney Sr. Thank you, Lon Chaney Sr. And I'll give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown, and we can watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
Dude, heck yeah. I don't think I've ever watched this trailer, so I'm looking and I'm ready to rock for some good classic 80s voiceover guy.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, click.
Thank you. It's a bad time, this time of year.
How many times is he going to tell this story?
I'll let him tell it. I love fairy tales.
This ain't no fairy tale, little girl. If you don't take it seriously, you're a fool!
The first Valentine's dance in 20 years has to be something special.
Look, Flanders, you gotta get a lot of exercise if you're gonna grapple with Gretchen.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got a Valentine for her that she's never gonna forget.
In this town on Valentine's Day, everybody loses their heart.
Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
It can't be happening again.
Stop!
It can't be happening again.
What's going on over in Valentine Bluffs? It looks like Harry Warden's back in town.
It happened once. It happened twice. Cancel the dance or it'll happen thrice.
In the town of Valentine Bluffs, there are many ways to die. Take your pick. Bloody Valentine.
JD, kick us off. What'd you think of the trailer?
It's not what I was expecting. And I don't mean that in a bad sense or necessarily a good sense, but it kind of caught me off guard with how melancholy it was. It was very dark and there wasn't much excitement from the music was very slow paced and it had that.
I actually like that part, but I agree. It was very slow paced.
And I'm not saying that that's good or bad. It caught me off guard. I was expecting something more high octane. In the long run, that's not what this movie is. So if you have not seen this film and you watch the trailer for the first time, I think that maybe it's going to put you off the wrong way. And maybe you won't be as excited for this movie as you necessarily should be.
I feel like a very simple approach to this trailer would have gone a long way. And just take like one of those speeches or one of those poems and splice that in with just kind of seeing him in the distance, like walking toward something. Like that alone would have got me in the theater. But I feel like they did too much with the trailer. They gave a little too much away. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. I didn't hate it. But I see a lot of flaws when I watch it.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying that this is a bad trailer by any means. It's just, it's not what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't been disappointed in a trailer in a while. And I don't know that I'm disappointed more than... No, you know what? I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
You wanted more Hollis, didn't you?
A little bit. I think I wanted more voiceover guy, or I just wanted more simplicity. Let's talk about the box office numbers here. So we don't have our normal week-by-week breakdown, unfortunately. I was hoping that we would for a movie like this, but here's what we know. My Bloody Valentine debuted at the box office February 11th, 1981. It was distributed by Paramount Pictures with a runtime of 91 minutes and a $2.3 million budget. And the film would go on to gross about $5.6 million at the box office, bringing back a little bit over $3 million in return. But Paramount looked at that as a pretty big failure, as a lot of movies at that time were doing much, much better in that genre. So it was a bit of a disappointment from the studio standpoint. JD, what do you think about the numbers?
You know, given what the budget is and what they brought in, and being that it's 1981 and we're sort of at the points of where horror and slasher movies are still being born and bred into what we would come to know and realize them throughout the later 80s. any money that you can make off of a film like this, I think, is a win.
Yeah, I just think in their defense, they're looking at a movie like Friday the 13th, which came out about a year earlier from Paramount, that had, I believe, less of a budget, that made $40 million. So I think that's where their disappointment comes in.
Yeah, but you can't be disappointed because your film is not another film.
Good point. Now, let's talk about the critic response. So, as usual, we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to kind of gauge the response. JD, how do you think the critics received My Bloody Valentine?
Okay, audience, bear with me as we are critics in 1981. We are wearing maroon sweaters with gray stripes in the middle. We've got little curly-haired mullets, and we're sipping, I don't know, Heinekens or something. I don't know if they drank in the 80s.
Tab.
There we go. We're drinking tabs and eating Domino's pizza because Domino's hasn't been popular since the 80s.
Ouch.
I was waiting for your
bringing in the heat.
Right? Seriously, 1981, we're coming on the heels of a lot of great horror movies, and we're still just establishing what the slasher genre is. There's a lot of great films that came out in 1981. And, you know, from 79 to 85 was a competitive film market. So there's a lot of reason to have a hoity-toity response to a Canuck film from out of nowhere, if you will. I think compared to other horror slasher movies, this film takes a lot of risks. And I think there's a lot of reward for some of that. Whereas if, I don't even know, maybe, Kyle, you could tell us what the remake scored in comparison to this after I throw out my guess. But I'm guessing the original scored higher. And
safe bet, yeah.
And if they did another reboot in 2019, I'm guessing that would score even lower. My point being, I think this is critically a run-of-the-mill horror movie, but I think that they erred a little bit on the more pleasant side, and I want to say 59%.
Okay. The actual score, 47%. So not very high. And the audience score is only 51, surprisingly. So not a lot of love for My Bloody Valentine. Now, you asked about My Bloody Valentine, the remake in 2009. Actually, surprisingly, it's got a fresh 60% rating, but only a 44% audience score.
That's funny. So my guess was more in line with the remake than the original. So maybe maybe that's what the critics, what I said, I was just transposing.
Exactly. Right. Now let's hear from a couple of them. We've got Tom Buckley of the New York Times was not a big fan. He said, My Bloody Valentine probably won't make you shiver with fright, but it's almost certain to make you squirm, first with irritation and then with revulsion. What do you think about his response to the film?
I think that's a little harsh.
Okay.
I don't know about revulsion as being a word to describe this. I mean, so much to me of this film, in hindsight, is repeated to our episode in the archives of Sleepaway Camp, where I'm like, hey, that's exactly like Sleepaway Camp. And obviously this film is 2 years prior to Sleepaway Camp. So Sleepaway Camp, if anything, stole from My Bloody Valentine. But a lot of the structure and the beats were very just for the time.
Right.
I don't know that that's repulsive.
I agree. Zach Hanlon of the AV Club, and I'm pretty sure this is a more recent review, but it's all we have. He gave the film a B- and said, the director gets great performances out of his leads, as well as the very eerie mood of the film, but ultimately it's a movie enjoyed more for what it could have been than what it actually is. Thoughts on that?
See, I appreciate some of what he's saying about what the film is and what it could have been. And to me, that just makes me want to focus on the fact that, and I don't know much about audience, the story behind the story and how it originated. And honestly, I don't know who wrote it or why they wrote it, but so much of this film is authentic, in my opinion. I know nothing about the mining industry, yet there's so much attention to detail about the suits and the little things that go down into the bottom of the mine and, you know, the shifts and what they look like. You, like, I don't know anything about what goes into writing and making this film, and this film knows that. So I think it is that. It's not what it could have been. I think it is that.
So is it fair to assume that might be what you're looking forward to most when we dive into the full review, kind of getting some of those answers?
Well, yeah, the authenticity of it for sure, and Hollis's mustache.
Okay. It's a pretty sweet mustache. We'll be back in a couple days, guys. I'm at least for the moment no longer sick, so this should come out pretty smooth and easy. Thanks for bearing with us last week as the flu took over and kind of ruined our wedding singer week. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show. Again, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. We're on social media at Back in Time Pod. I'm at KAutry29. Justin's at UnjustJustin. And we're out of time. Time to hop back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, return back the present day. We'll talk to you in a couple days. See ya.
Boy. You're falling down a line.
Is a curse that'll live on and on, and no one will know as the years come and go of the horror from long time ago.